We're going to talk about biblical curses, and we're going to deal with them today. It's part three. And a lot of Christians say, well, no. Well, yeah, I know they say that. A couple days ago, several days ago, last week, the Lord was speaking to me about this very subject. And I'm not going to, you know, I talked about it about an hour and a half, about 3 hours already. So we're not going to go back and review all this. But believe me, there's biblical curses. There's curses that are need to be understood in the Word of God. And words spoken by authorities set something in motion, good or evil. You can bless someone with your words, and you can curse someone with the same words. You can bless yourself or curse yourself with the same words, with the same mouth. You can say either, God, what do you think we say, God bless you? You know where that comes from? Blessings, God bless you? It comes from sneezing. Back in the day, people would hear people sneeze and they thought they were going to die, so they would say, God bless you. And that tradition carried on today. When someone sneezes, we say, blessings, God bless you. That came from way back then in history. That when people would sneeze, they thought something was very wrong with them. And they would say, God bless you, to keep them living. They didn't want them to die. So that was blessing. Cursing's the same thing. You know, you hear people curse. Not vulgarity. We're not talking about profanity or gestures or coarseness. We're not talking about that. We're talking about people that are cursing Christians that are cursing Christians and don't even know they're doing it, and people that are cursing themselves. So we talked a little bit about that last week. We talked about where does curse come from? Well, we know they come from God. You can read about that in the scripture. We'll show you some today. It can come from others' word curses, and you can come from self and self curses. Now that's the one that is so sad. Curses bring death, disease, drought, dearth, danger, destruction, defeat, deportation, destitution, and disgrace. Blessings deal in life and health and prosperity and agricultural abundance, safety, and respect. So you see the difference there, don't you? Look at one side versus the other. That's why you speak life to people. Well, I heard people say, well, I hope you die. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well, you can just go kill yourself. I don't care about that. Bang. You can deal with self-inflicted curses. I can't start the day without throwing up. You know, I can't remember names. I'll never be able to get better. I'll never be able to make any money. And then on it goes. Now, curses are carried out in environment. Environment. That's right. Man, I'll never get out of this old town. I'll never get out of this ghetto. I'll never get out of this place. You're cursing yourself and your environment. Man, everybody in my family's always had sugar diabetes. Mom died from it. Grandma died from it. My sister died from it. My dad died from it. Everybody in my family died from it. Genetic. Natural consequences built in. The law of sowing and reaping. Whatsoever a person sows, they shall also reap. Notice what it said, whatsoever, bad, good, up, down. And then, of course, it's demonic opportunity because demons look for open doors. Somebody said, no, wait a minute. How does all this happen? Well, I'm going to give you some scripture today. I like when Jamie says, get your pen and paper because I'm going to give you some scriptures. Well, get your pen and paper. I'm going to give you some scriptures. You can learn from this. Okay? And then Jamie says, for those in the back, I look out in the back here, I said, I wonder who's out there my studio window. Okay? Now, here's an important passage I want you to grab hold of. So get your paper, Jamie. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 2. This is probably one of the most important passages in the Bible dealing with biblical curses or dealing with curses that come to you and stop certain things in your life. Okay? And I want you to understand it, so it takes a few minutes to do this one. Proverbs 26:2. As the bird by wandering, I saw a bird wandering around. I took a picture of a great bird right outside my studio today. As the bird is wandering, as the swallow by flying, here you go. So the curse, ready for this? Causeless shall not come. Proverbs 26:2. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, as the curse causeless shall not come. I always say it like this. There is no curse without cause. There's no curse without cause. None whatsoever. No curse without cause. Jamie's got his pen and paper. Way to go. What does that mean? Okay, let's talk about this. Curses are with cause. They're targeted. They go into certain realms. There's some curses targeted at men, some at women, some at children, some at finances, some at marriages. They're targeted. And what happens is, I'm going to tell you what happens is, these words are picked up in the spiritual realm. They're just picked right up. A lot by demons. Demon spirits will pick that up. And you put a devil on assignment in that area. Like I told you about the box and Margaret couldn't move and muscular dystrophy and everything there from somebody else. And I broke it. Didn't bother me or the other guy. Okay, it was targeted. You can target your curses. My brother says, well, witches, the occult. That's right. That's right. For he wrestled not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's why it says Ephesians to put on the whole armor of God. So if there was no battle, there'd be no need of an armor. If you're not fighting, you don't need any armor. If you're not being targeted with something, why need the armor? Why put on the armor if there's no battle? Why put on armor and there's no battle? You put on armor for a reason. Paul told us that, for he wrestled not against flesh and blood. So when we understand these spiritual principles, understand these principles and how they work, we can really see why there's certain things going on in our life. And we just don't know. Well, I don't know what happened. Wow. I didn't know. Well, we didn't know anything about that, okay? No, they don't. No, they don't. Well, I don't know. See, that I don't know. Well, gee, that sure was different. We didn't know anything about that. Christians say this. Well, no one ever taught us this. Hello. Hello. Remember, most Christians are an inch deep and a mile wide. Don't get mad at me when I'm teaching good, okay? Instinct mile what? And the Bible says, deep calleth out to deep. And this stuff here is deep. It's not standing by the ocean and getting your little toes in about a quarter inch of water. It's going out further. That's why Jesus said, launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep. We're launching out into the deep. So what happens? So there's no curse without cause. So a person will say something at a person and curse them. It's picked up in the spiritual realm, and demons are assigned to make that curse happen. And it stays like that from generation to generation. We'll talk about sins of the father. We'll talk about that later in the week. So when that happens, generation after generation, dad was an alcoholic. His dad was an alcoholic. Their son, alcoholic. His son, alcoholic. And you hear this, well, alcoholism runs in the family. Have you heard anybody say that? Our family is accident prone, is spoken. Our family's accident prone. You know, we all fall down. We all got accidents. We just, one accident after another. We're an accident waiting to happen. You see, that stuff is generational. It's not like, oh, gee, you know. Oh, man, I just, you know, spilled the milk. Not talking about that stuff. We're talking about everybody spills the milk. You know, we never can, my family never can really keep jobs. Hello? We're going to be poor always. Hello? You see? We're cursing. And those demons are put on assignment from the sins of the fathers. And I'll teach about that later in the week, maybe, as God leads. So there's no curse without cause. Proverbs 26:2, no curse without cause. That's what happens, exactly what happens. People curse themselves. I told the church yesterday, told you, I think, last week, some one of either Wednesday or Thursday, that a lady, a pastor and his wife were sitting by the beach, enjoying the day, enjoying the breeze, enjoying the sun, enjoying the salt. And as the wife, pastor's wife, sits down on the blanket, she goes, oh, my old leg, I'll never be able. And the husband, spiritual authority, said, wait a minute, you're cursing yourself. Ask God to forgive you and get released from that. And so she says, oh, God, I'm sorry, and I release it. Seconds later, she's running up and down the beach. No pain. No pain. No pain. Curse on her. Curse on her. I'll tell you one more story here that curse without cause. I was preaching a convention out west. I was invited after one of the, I think it was, yeah, it was the morning. I was preaching morning and night out west in this convention. And the sponsor of the convention said to me, he said, hey, man, would you come with me? We got a break in the afternoon to a person's house because they want to talk to you. I said, sure. His name is Doug. I said, sure, Doug. So Doug takes me to this house, I walk in, and there's a man there that was in the service the night before. I didn't get to meet him, but I knew he was there because I saw him in and around the altars. So he said, can I speak to you? I said, yes. So he came in, sat down, and there was his wife on the couch. And I said, hello, so-and-so. She didn't say a word. He said, go and sit down. So I went and sat down. And he says, my wife's jaw has not been able to open for months. I said, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. I said, well, I know we come over to pray. And the Spirit of God said, not natural, supernatural, ask questions. So I said, okay, I ain't begging to ask them. I said, think back to the months ago when you're about 6 months or so, they were feeding her through a straw. They said, well, we've been to dentists, we've been to doctors, we've been here. I mean, everybody that we could think of, we went to, and no one can figure this out. I said, I knew it was spiritual. We've been to a dentist. We've been to people that deal in surgery in the jaw and face area. I mean, you name it, they were there. They said, we don't know what's happened. And the Spirit of God said, ask them. So I was beginning, I said, sir, called him by name. I said, think back, when did this happen? And they began to think back. And they said, she didn't see a word. She nodded her head. She couldn't say a sound. And she would nod, and he would look, and they nod, and he would speak. And he said, it happened when we received a painting. And I said, a painting? He said, yes. I said, tell me about it. He said, this person in a penitentiary sent us a painting because good artists, we knew who this person was, and sent a painting to us. I said, okay. I said, what happened? He said, we saw the painting. It was beautiful. We put it on the wall right there and pointed to the location of that painting. And I looked at it. I said, what happened next? He said, a little while later, my wife would be speaking, and she just seized up the way an engine seizes with no oil. Spirit of God said, have them check the house. So I said, okay. Told them some things, told them some spiritual insight, gave them some information in nugget form to get them through this. And I said, I want you to stand in your front door. And I want you to walk around on your house. And I want you to have spiritual eyes. Open our eyes, Lord, that we may see clearly. I said, walk around your house. Just kind of walk around. Take your time. Got all afternoon. Got to get back for the night about 7 o'clock. No rush. You just walk around and you begin to look. So he walked around his house. He walked through his door, turned left or turned right, walked around all of the outside walls, you know, inside, down the hallways, in the bedroom, bathroom, kitchen area, dining room, living room, I mean the whole house. He came back. And I said, what'd you see? He says, well, I didn't see anything but that painting that was sent to us kind of like stuck out. I said, okay. I said, here's what you do. I said, you take that painting. It's your painting, right? Yes. You take it off the wall. You take it outside the house. Outside of the perimeter of this house. Don't go in the garage. Don't go in the carport. Outside the perimeter of this house and walk to as far away as you can get. Stay inside the property, walk, but not inside the house. And he went, picked it off the wall, walked outside, and I watched him through the window. He walked to the very edge where his property meets the road and broke the painting physically, just shattered it. Before he could get by the house, he dropped the painting in the trash pile. Before he got back to the house, his wife was speaking, instantaneously released. She said, I can hear, I can talk, and I'm hungry. She's been fed through a straw for about 6 months. No solid food, cannot move her jaw. Couldn't swallow baby food, nothing. Straw. I'm released. And then she goes, I'm starving. I want to go to the steakhouse. I said, that's a great idea. I'm hungry myself. She was instantly released. And here's what happened. This artist in prison was Native American, full of paganism. This is not racism. This is spiritual stuff. It's not a race bone in my body. This is spiritual. I don't care the color of that person, but this was important because they worship idols and they worship false gods, do they not? Look at the culture. Paganism, medicine men. I've been all through there. I know all about this stuff. They cast spells and some of their dolls, they're just demonized. And they sell to tourists, and tourists can't figure out how come things are going so bad. Kachina dolls is where the demon operates. Buy a Kachina doll, take it home, and be cursed the rest of your life. So, this man was in prison for whatever he did. He cursed this family, sent the painting as the connection, and bang, happened instantaneously. Remember what it says, no curse without cause. Proverbs 26:2, no curse without cause. So what happened? There you go. Let me tell you one more story. I'm trying to tell you these things to help you. A friend of mine, pastor of a large church, overseer of an area, actually two nations, had problems and difficulties. He called me. I got on a plane out of Miami and I flew to his location. I was there within 48 hours. I walked into the house. He my lifelong buddy. I talked to his family. His family went to one of the daughter's houses. So it was just me and him and his son. House was totally empty but us. They went there, not for safety, but they wanted us to be able to move through that house with no hindrance. I watched. I was the night guy. His son was the day guy. I said, Richard, I'll stay up during the night, all night long. You go to bed and we'll reverse the turn. You take care of dad physically and the needs, and I'll sleep during the day. I said, fine. That's what happened. In the middle of the night, probably 3 o'clock in the morning, way off. Well, I can hear through the mountain passes. I can hear dogs barking. I heard the dogs. Everybody in that island has dogs. You want dogs, you go there. I'll tell you, the island, Trinidad, full of all kinds of demonic activity. I mean, it's loaded. And I'd listen for the dogs. I hear them like a wind of the dogs. It got closer and closer and closer and closer and closer and closer. Finally, the next door neighbor, their dog began to howl and howl. They're all quiet. And a moment later, in the bedroom where Stephen was laying trying to sleep, I heard him groan in agony. I got up, Rich, you know, I was in my room, I was laying down, but I wasn't asleep. I got up and went in his room, and I saw his stomach extend about the size of a basketball. Flat one moment, basketball size the next. That is not normal. Not at all. Not at all. I put my hand on his stomach. We'd pray, and the hand on his stomach, the stomach go down like you take air of a basketball, all the way down. Fight that fight every day. And finally, I was there about a week. And about day five, I said, we got to find out what's going on. And I said to Stephen, where have you been? This guy is international, travels everywhere.